It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus today, Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We've gotten through a couple of those verses, but we're going to begin with the first verse of that chapter, Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. And as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit us at our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you take an opportunity to write and to check that site out. We would appreciate it. I think you'll enjoy it. Now that you have had enough time to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 21, beginning to read with verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. If a man sell his daughter to be a maid servant, she shall not go out as the manservants do. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If man strive together, and one smite another with a stone, and with his fist, or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again, and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. If a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If any mischief follow, Then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and a hand for hand, and a foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to his judgment, shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. If one man's own hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Now we're going to stop there with that verse of scripture, the end of that chapter. I'm glad that we've enjoyed the reading. I just wanted to read that verse of scripture so that we can, that chapter, because we'll probably cover most of that today. We're not going to really pick each verse apart, because I think very quickly you're going to get the general understanding of what we're looking for there. So I'm glad that you've joined us in the reading. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I thank you that you give us this, have given this opportunity to be on the radio and get your word out throughout the area so that so many ears can hear. And I hope that all the ears that are hearing today are not only hearing, but they're listening. Because if they truly listen, then they'll realize that it's your word, and your word will bring them salvation. They can be saved. They can enjoy a wonderful life walking with you and serving you. So please, today, dear Lord, that that be the case, that all have listening ears. We've read a little bit concerning taking and putting a hole in the ear. And so we're going to talk about that today, dear Lord, and what that means. And so please, guide and lead us now as we study your precious word. And again, convict the hearts of those that are lost, that they'll be saved today. Please bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun, but there's a God to serve. And dear Father, you are that God that we need to serve and praise and honor. And so please that we do that today and every day. Those that are saved, we that are saved, please that we grow closer to you and be in service to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I'm glad again that you've joined us today. We did read that chapter, and it was quite a lengthy chapter. As you know, we do not skip by any part of God's Word. We begin and we read every verse of Scripture. And I hope that you have enjoyed that. In the Wednesday night study, we are studying through God's Word, and we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And so far, and it has taken us now about 18 years, and in an 18-year period, we have studied every verse of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and we're just finishing 2 Chronicles. We're just about to begin the book of Ezra. And so you can see that in that, and if you would just take your Bible and open that up, you would see and realize how many pages of Scripture that is. And we have studied that every Wednesday night. And we have enjoyed it. We have learned so much from it as we have finished now 1 and 2 Chronicles, because it was so much like 1 and 2 Kings. There was a duplication, and yet it's not just, it's kind of like the Gospels, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are so much that one doesn't point out the other one does, and it's just been such a privilege to do that. And so as we look now at Genesis, and we're now into the book of Exodus, I hope that you're enjoying this study, because we do enjoy going verse by verse. We have quite a statement here as we look at God's Word concerning a slave or a servant. And you know, when you think of a servant, sometimes I guess we immediately think of the word slave. That's not so at all. A servant is much different than a slave. And so I want you to see today that God never, ever intended for one man to be a master and another man to be a slave. That was never intended anywhere in the thought of a slave as you would think of him. Now, a servant is one that comes and will work for hire. There is a purpose for it. And so many times a person would go from being a master to being a servant because maybe they weren't a very good farmer. Maybe they had a couple of bad years and the yields, the crop was not there. And so they could not purchase grain another year to plant their farm. Possibly there were taxes that needed to be paid. There was a lot of reasons. There was no money to feed your family. And so you needed to go find work. And so you would hire out to maybe a landowner, a master that was next to you. Maybe he would come and farm your ground as it was there. He would take your ground over, but you still needed to feed your family. And so in doing so, you would begin to be his hired man or his servant, and he would pay you. Sometimes the pay would only be a room and board, but whatever it was, that's what you would work for in order to feed and care for your family. And we have a couple of instances here, and it calls it judgments as we begin now. These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them, the Scripture says, and that judgment is the rule, the law. And so now we're going to look at some rules that God is putting in place. And this is directly to the nation of Israel, but many of these we can apply to ourselves and should, because it is great for us to look at how God has laid these things out, and particularly concerning capital punishment. Today there's quite an argument and discussion concerning that, you know, should any one have the right to take the life of another? Not as an individual, no, but as a government, yes. And God is putting that into place here. And so we're going to look at that today. But these laws, these rules that are put before us here are the basis of the laws of our land. And the only reason that crime has continuing to increase is because we have gotten away from God's original plan. We have gone soft, and we think that we can talk to someone and they'll be fine. In some cases, if a man takes another man's life, that man's life is taken. And that's God's Word. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that is the Word of God, and that's not, again, done by your own hand. For instance, if someone you loved their life is taken, you don't go out there with vengeance to take that person's life. You wait and go through the court system, whatever the system is, because but that government has the right to follow through and take the life of that one that has taken the life of another. And so we kind of jumped ahead just a little bit, but I want you to see that God's rules and God's ways, and he calls it judgments here, are very good. And I want you to see they're so good, they're called them perfect, because we are not perfect. We live in a sinful world. We're sinners. And so God has to set these laws and these rules up before us so we know how to live. One of the things that would happen if a person would lose his property, for instance, lose his means of caring for himself and his family, if you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that's not a principle of today. Today, we have a lot of lazy bums out there that are taking all the welfare and taking everything that they can take that ought to be out working. Can they make a super job and make a great wage? Maybe not. Doesn't matter. Get a job, work, and do it honestly that you can supply the needs of yourself and your family. In this time, if a person, for some reason, and I gave a few reasons earlier, a bad crop year, bad management, who knows what it might have been, maybe you'd gotten sick. Maybe you were sick and weren't able to plant the land. Whatever it might have been, when the time come, you could not supply the needs for yourself and your family, so you need to go do something. Well, you would go and hire out to another master or another landowner here, but it wasn't forever to do that. It was for a short period of time. It was 6 years. It was 6 years, and in the seventh, he shall go out free. And so no matter what debt might have been incurred, maybe the other man paid a debt off for you, and then you worked for him this period of time. Many different situations could come from this. But the clear one, the important one is that God never intended for one man to lord over another. And so this opportunity then, after 6 years, the seventh year, the man goes free. He goes right back to the opportunity to be his own boss, to be his own master, to do what he wants to do. Now, maybe he would have to hire out to someone else, but his debt would be paid in that six-year period. Now, it doesn't cover it right here, but God does, a little later in his word, bring on something called the Year of Jubilee. And the Year of Jubilee is the 49 years plus one, so it's 50 years. And upon that 50th year, not only here in 6 years the man goes free, but in 50 years, every 50 years, all the land goes back to their original owners. So if one farmer was a super farmer and the half dozen weren't, they would lose their land. It didn't stay master that was a good farmer, it didn't stay in his possession and handed on to his family. It was handed back to the original owners of that land. And so when God divided these 12 tribes and the land of Canaan up to these 12 families, these 12 tribes, the purpose was that that land would always stay in the possession of that family. Even if it went out for a period of time, it would return. God here very clearly says this man will go free. Now, there is situation here just a little bit. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. Now, this seems a little bit strange. In other words, if the man would come and have a bride, his wife, and children, then whenever the 6 years was up, the seventh year come, then they would leave. They would be able to leave together. But if he would come, and maybe a situation similar to that had happened to another, maybe her husband had died possibly, or maybe one of the children the daughters, they had to farm out to make ends meet to be able to feed their family. You know, that was very common not so many years ago. If you had a family and you had three or four children and you couldn't feed them, you couldn't take care of them, why, a lot of times neighbors or uncles or aunts or cousins would take the children for their ability to work. Then they would get room and board. And that was very common a generation from me back, that wasn't uncommon at all that would take place. Well, all of a sudden now this master has acquired a woman. And maybe this woman and this man then, they come together and marry while this six-year period is underway. Well, at the end of that six-year period then, the man goes free. But you see, depending on the lady, and it deals with her down here a little bit more a little later, but as we, whatever the case is, that lady was given to that servant. So when he got ready to leave, he would have to leave his bride and possibly some children if they had children during this six-year period. And so he had the right that he could go and go immediately whenever he wanted to. He could leave. But if he did, he would have to leave his wife and his children. And so there was another change made, not a change, but there was a means made to compensate for that. If the man would come and was working and his time was finished and he could walk out a free man. Instead of that, his debt was paid. Instead of that, he could say, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my master, I'm going to stay. By my free will, I'm going to stay. And so you see, he could make that decision. But when he did, that decision was a decision that was carried out forever. And so they would take, the master would go before the judges, and then they would take this servant, this man out, and he would go out to the gatepost, to the doorpost, and they would lay him down with his earlobe down, and they would take an awl, and they would punch a hole through his ear, through his earlobe. And that would identify him as not being one that was free any longer. He was not free, but he was free to make a choice, to make a decision, to serve and to follow after his master for the purpose of keeping his bride and his children in many cases. So you see, he had a decision to make. He could walk out by himself, no strings attached. But instead of that, he could choose to stay. But he would, forever, the rest of his life, he would be a servant to this master. He has agreed to stay for whatever pay he would receive, for whatever he could receive from his master, whether it's just room and board, whatever it might be. It didn't matter, because he loved his bride. And he wanted to stay, and he was willing to give up his freedom to do that. Now, as we look at that example right there, you think, you know, that's, and that gets us down through the sixth verse there. And as we look at that, I want to show you what the Lord Jesus has done for us, for you and for me. Because you see what has taken place. We live in the sin sick world. We're sinners. We were born in sin, and we're going to die in that sin. Now, the only way that can be reckoned with is if we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and he takes our sin away. Even then, we still die with the old flesh. Our sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west when we come and trust in Jesus Christ and begin that wonderful walk and have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity, and I hope that you have not missed that opportunity. I hope you have not ignored that opportunity and you have not taken it. And, you know, we're studying in Philippians with Paul, and as he looks at the opportunity of service, and he looks at everything, the education he had. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew. He was born into the right family, the family of Benjamin. Everything was perfect with him, but he realized that that was nothing when it comes to taking care of our sin. Being religious is nothing. So your church membership, your name, all your service, everything is nothing. And Paul recognized that. He recognized that on the way to road to Damascus when he got saved. So you see, if you haven't recognized that yet, salvation has not come into your heart. So please trust in him today that you can see that all that is just a waste. The only thing is important is that we praise, honor, and glorify our God. Jesus came to this earth. He chose by his free will to come to this earth. Now, if we would take him as this servant, now, the Lord Jesus has come to earth. He left a place of glory, of perfection, his home in heaven. He left that, and he has come to earth. Now, Jesus lived 33 years, a perfect life, never sinning once. However, during that time that he was here, when his time ended, he could have went home. He could have went home free. He did not have to stay and die. He could have went home. Instead of that, he stayed. He died on the cross. Why did he do that? Because it's just like that servant. He loved his bride. We are his bride. The church is his bride. Every person that's come by faith to Jesus Christ is his bride. And he loves us. He also loved his master, his father. And so he made a decision. That decision is to stay and pay the price. And he did. And as we see in his testimony of how he died and the markings on his body that he has received because of the cross of Calvary shows that by his free will, he stayed and he paid the price. The servant got the hole put through his ear with the awl. The Lord Jesus got his hands and his side and his feet nailed to the cross. He did it so that we can live. Now, as many things with the scripture, it's not a perfect picture, but it's a beautiful one. It's a beautiful picture how Jesus loves us. He loves his church. He loves his bride. And he chose to stay. He could go home a free man, go back to glory, go back to heaven. But he chose not to. He chose to stay. And what a wonderful opportunity that gives to you and me. Now, there are some verses of Scripture. We have Philippians 2:8, Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 9, that you can read and you will realize, recognize what we're saying. Psalms especially, sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Just like the servant. Just like the servant. Oh, my dear friend, what a wonderful picture. And there's another picture concerning this that we'll be talking about a little bit later. But I want you to see the Lord Jesus, because right after they received the law, they were given this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus and what he was going to do, some 1,500 years later. Oh, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you've trusted in him today. But as I always finish, I ask this question: what are you going to do about Jesus?